You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8YRC Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Sorry, come back to me. I didn't hear you.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KDA-VAX.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Calling station. I copy you, but your audio is very low. KF8DPZ.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KFAFQN, clear.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
CQ, 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 KR4, COI in Burgon, North Carolina on Echolink.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Can we eat all these tests?
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Charlie 8, Charlie Papa Tango. Anyone listening?
Kilo Charlie 8, Charlie Papa Tango. This is Kilo Fox Trot 8, Delta Papa Zulu. What's going on, Don and Cliff? See, we're both up late again.
Hey, Cliff, how you doing? I get to hear in the mega repeater, so yeah, we're up late again. I couldn't sleep, so I had to get up and play a little radio. KCACPT.
I'm just up trolling around on the internet. I'm waiting for my lady to get home from the hospital.
Okay, well, yeah, that's all right then. Yeah, it's good to hear you. And, I know I talked to you the other day, so it was good to hear you again tonight. So, ain't much going on over here. Just relaxing and play a little radio. I figured I'd just get up because I couldn't sleep, so I got up anyways. But I got an H7. Nobody had H7 at all. Everything is completely gone. Everybody's gone on H7. Nobody's even on it at all. So, maybe propagation, the conditions ain't too good today. Tonight, maybe that could be why. But anyways, I'm just taking it easy, relaxing now, you know. Anyways, are you playing radio? I know the other day, I think you talked to me about, you know, again on Thursday nights, they had a net, Cliff, and they had people coming in around 5 o'clock on Sunday nights and that. You mentioned off, I think you would have mentioned that to me, right?
Yes, I did. Said that's the state of Michigan's amateur radio public service coordinate that happens at 5 p.m. on Sundays. You can pick it up on this repeater, and if you can bring in, I forget the frequency, I think it's 443.625 among Clemens. If you can bring in that repeater, you can hear it. There's another repeater in Warren, whose frequency I can't remember off the top of my head. It's another 70 centimeter. If you can catch any one of those three, you can listen to that because they tie it all together for that. And then on Thursday nights, on this repeater right here, the 147.2, at 7 o'clock every Thursday, except for the third Thursday of the month, they have a net that's going on. Everybody is welcome to join.
Very good. I didn't know, you know, with this repeater. I thought it was only two or seven club that own this repeater, which is many more clubs than the Joy clubs that own this repeater. So I didn't know there was to be slight repeaters around available. So this is a pretty good link, you know, for different places that you can make contact to other people. And like you said, it's a wide world, probably a wide world spread. I mean, probably get as far as South Pole. I think it could probably get as far as down south, like I was saying the other day, and down in Florida. But I'm sure that I'm sure they hear us, but they don't respond, and they just don't get on the repeaters that often. Maybe they think they probably get on it, probably can't reach that far from Michigan, and I don't know.
Now, I'd have to go look them up, but I'm pretty sure there's one or two repeaters down in Florida that link into one of the networks that's up here. And it's mainly, I'm thinking it's mainly because the guy who owns them, you know, he's a bit of a snowbird. He's up here half the year and down there half the year, and he wants to talk to his buddies up here. But I think, I'm not sure, I'd have to dig into that one. Just like I know there's a network of repeaters up in the Upper Peninsula that I have never heard, unless I've gone into it via Echolink. It doesn't link with any of the ones down here, even though it's run by the same group of people. At least not that I know of. I've never heard it. That's not to say that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, very good Cliff. I was thinking the majority of the repeaters are linked together like that. You would think it'd be a lot more people to get into this leak and all that, and hear about more people from our state. But I think it got to do with the band opening, too, right?
Yeah, sometimes I would think, but some of these repeater networks, they're not RF. The linking is done over the Internet. And I'm imagining that's how, like, for example, those one or two that I'm thinking about in Florida might be linked up here. That's how they do it, is that they do it over the Internet.
Yeah, I don't have a computer. I had a computer, a laptop years ago. It was an obsolete laptop, and it was one of those IBM, the old ones back years ago when they used the Venom kind of the IBM ones. So I had to throw that away because it was obsolete. You couldn't get on the Internet at all with that.
Well, that's unfortunate. Ever thought about getting another one, something a little more modern?
Yeah, I might have to one of these days because, you know, when you get on the Internet, you get different links to different repeater sites and areas that you can probably look at all the information on the Internet. And I'd like to get a computer or a laptop just so I can get all the information I want from different repeater sites, you know, and where they're leaking that then too. So my dad is to do that someday in the future and get another computer, you know, a laptop or something. So it'd probably help a lot, too, if I did, you know.
KFA-DBZ. Yeah, I'm looking at the website for it right now, and, not seeing the repeaters I was thinking of. So maybe I was mistaken, and I'm conflating it with something else that I saw somewhere else. So with that, but yeah, you can get a decent laptop these days for like, you know, $400-$500, you know, as long as something like that is within your budget.
You gotta watch about that because got to maintain what we have and spend within our means, but even though we go out, me and my wife, and we spend within our means not to go out too much because prices of the menu nowadays at the restaurants, they've gone up since last year. And years ago, they wasn't so much money, you know, go out to eat. But now, you know, you go out to eat so much money. But we try to spend it without me, so I can't really go with my budget by the laptop. I think she probably won't like that idea if I did that for myself and that, you know. So, you know, when you're married, you know, your money comes together, you know. And when you're married, you have to compromise a little bit too, you know. Yeah, I hear you on that. You know, my lady and I have basically gone through the same thing, having to compromise and stuff like that. She doesn't complain about me buying radios and stuff like that, or even computers when we need them, because, you know, from her point of view, it's a necessary expense, and as long as I don't break the budget doing it, she won't say anything. And I'm pretty much the same way on the stuff that she thinks we need. I'm like, okay, as long as we didn't break the budget, we're good. I want a new radio, and if I had the money available, they'd be okay with her, they'd be okay with me then, because I, for one, in the hobby, she won't have a license for a ham radio license at all, but I do. She could talk on a radio with me, but when I'm licensed, this would be a second party that she could talk about. Anyway, she probably won't pay my ball being on the radio, but I don't have to have it on the radio. I got so many of them now there, look, Cliff. Yeah, I hear you on that. It's hard to not collect a pile of them because, you know, they come up with something. It's like, ooh, I want that. And you gotta watch out for the shiny because sometimes the shiny will hit you right in the wallet.
If something were interesting that I'd like to have, I see something in the manual that we would like to buy from in that. Not the manual, I mean, into that catalog. Then I would see that what they had that catalog, if something catches my eye, then I would definitely buy it. And if it breaks my wallet to take money out of my wallet, then I would regret it later because I know I'm not going to have no money when I buy that radio because radio costs too much money nowadays. And they are very costly. Radio's a lot of money when you buy one anyways. If it's handheld or mobile, a radio or a fixed station that I have, I'm talking to you now, then it would be a lot of money to buy a new one nowadays because I'm sure they've gone up since then.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, definitely. Because right now, you know, my setup is I got two mobiles with fixed installs because one of them is strictly analog and I keep it in the lower parts of the bands. You know, it's 2 meter and below, and the other one I keep it up in the 70 centimeter and doing digital with it. And between the two of them, there's about $600-$700 here just sitting in the radio cells. We're not talking about the power supply, the antenna, or nothing like that. And it's still expensive.
I bought this handheld years ago at Michigan Radio. It used to be Michigan Radio, but it no longer exists anymore. It's now available where it used to be. A nice new all transceiver, 6 meter band radio I bought there. That's a fixed station radio. And then I bought Yazoo radio with a dual band there, which was nice to have. But now I got programmed that thing all over again, unless it's frequencies are still in there, and I messed it up, so I pushed the wrong button when I did. And now I can't get the frequency back on that Yazoo.
And you don't have a computer that you can hook up to it to check its programming that way, do you?
What was the question again there, Cliff?
And where you're at right now with that radio, you said that that you messed up and you think you have to go back through and reprogram it. You don't have a computer to use to go through and program it with, do you?
wish I did. I used to have one of those computers. I think they were all both IBM computers, a laptop and a computer with a tower. I had a desk there in a other side of the room there with a computer on top of it, and then a tower with it, you know, one of those big computers. I mean, they were huge back in the day when they used to have them. And then you had your printer and all that, too, right beside the computer by that tower and all that. Well, I don't have that anymore, so they're both gone, so I have no computer until someday, hopefully, I can afford it. I can invest in the one. Maybe someday I would be able to, but I don't have one now, no.
That's going to make straightening that radio out a little harder, doing it all from the front panel, because it is definitely easier doing it when you're using a computer and some custom programming software.
Now that I have a manual for it, and I looked at today, and I found the manual. Would that help me with the manual?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, going in there with the manual, you'll be able to check each and every one of your programmings in there that way. But like I said, you're going to be doing it from the front panel of the radio and with the mic, because I imagine that's where your number pad is.
I was just wondering, you think the all the frequencies that were in it before, you think it's still permanently restricted still? If I look at the manual, do you think I can figure it out that I wouldn't have to program to put the frequencies in there? You think it'd still be in there then?
Well, as long as you didn't do a factory reset on the radio, because you can do that from the front panel too. As long as you didn't reset it, everything that you had in there before should still be there.
Okay. I think I probably can program it. Well, it's already programmed, but all I do is just get it back running again and get all the frequencies that are in it restored again. And then I look in the manual, and then I can probably get it going again and bring it up again, and all the frequencies still be in. I think I'm able to do that, yeah.
Well, to me, it sounds like a fun little project to do. It's just another way to play radio.
I don't think it'd be complicated, Cliff. I think it'd be pretty easy, you know, just get it back and running again, you know. And it's showing all these other frequencies, all these other numbers. I don't know where they come from, but all these numbers they keep on that radio, it says I don't know about them. But anyways, once I get all the frequencies back, then I'll be happy with that then. But anyways, tomorrow I might get on HF and see what's on HF later on tomorrow morning or afternoon. And do you have HF privileges, Cliff?
Right now, just AM single sideband as far as 10 meter goes from 28.3 to 28.5 megahertz. And AM only, and no FM. And the one radio I have here that does get into 10 meter only does FM. It doesn't have the circuits in it for AM or anything like that. But I can go down and play around in 6 meter too. This one does that just fine.
Tell me, I have a Alamo transceiver 6 meter radio, and I played with that years ago, and I bought that Michigan radio. And I have a lot of fun on that, but I can't do it in an apartment. I can't put an antenna. But there is some way, and always a way, about an antenna that you can have in an apartment. There's always a shortcut to do that, though, for 6 meters. I don't know if you have to have a wire or some kind of special antenna, but there's a way, you know, to doing that place 6 meters when the bands are open. I was just wondering, had bands been open lately on 6?
I'm not all that sure about that. You know, I've always got, at least have a repeater, a 6 meter repeater that I'm listening to on that one side, always on, and I don't hear a lot of activity on it. You know, and some people have told about it, like, that repeater's still there and working. I'm like, yes. But I haven't heard a whole heck of a lot out there. And so, you know, it's like I couldn't really quantify, you know, just how much activity is actually happening or not.
it's a magic band, Cliff, and it's just a matter of time when the bands are open. When it does open up, you'll know that when it is open, there's a solar flare opening, or if the band I open on HF, the band will be open on 6 meters then because of a solar flare. The solar flare usually, propagation of the solar flare would be good for 6 meters because there's a lot of, they call it anodic, I can't remember the name of it, but some kind of solar flare up in the sun that causes the bands open up where the propagation is right for it, like this is a great, when the bands open on 6 meters, that's when the band is really open for a long time at 6 meters. I think it was a solar flare.
Well, maybe one day I'll have the time to play radio on 6 meter when there's a flare going overhead and the aurora is big and all that, and you know, see if I can't make some fairly serious long distance contacts.
Yeah, I like I said to you the other day, I should have had fun making contacts on that band. I even got two south cars from them too on 6 meters from Alaska. I made contact in Alaska on 6 meters. That's when the band solar flares were really, really hot on 6 meters. I can't believe it while I was here. I even here in Scotland on there too.
All right, that's really cool. That is really cool. I like that.
I didn't think cool that far, but anyway, that antenna I was using, all these antennas, for the parades that I had up north. That's when I was up north. My parents used to live up there. And my dad, when he was still alive, he passed away about 10 years ago. And he helped me. He says, well, son, would you like to have a radio station down in my workshop? And I said, yeah, Dad. Well, you get the stuff, buy stuff that you need, and I'll help you out, he says. And they'll put a foundation, they'll dig a hole in the ground outside there by the house, and then we'll put it by the concrete mix, and then we'll put it inside a hole there. And he put the screws upside down so he could put the plates on it, you know. And then after that, I put about three sections of a tower that he helped me put on. You know what he did? My dad was strong. I couldn't believe he did, but he did it anyway. I had all three sections of the tower on there. He went up top of the roof and took the rope and tied around the tower there. And he went on top of the roof. He pulled that thing right up on his own. I couldn't believe that, but he did it. That tower was heavy to pull that tower up like that, you know.
Yeah, it is. Putting up a 30-foot tower ain't no joke. Way, way, way back when I was young and dumb and all that other stuff that goes along with it, before I'd settled into having a career somewhere. And I was out of work looking for a job. My sister hooked me up with this AV security company. And that's when I started standing up towers. And there's a couple I put up back then that are still standing today. They are in the back lot of the old GM Parts Slavonia building. That's on 96 between Newburgh and Levin Road on the south side of it. And it's a couple of 100-footers. And the one at the west end of the building, we were pulling it up with a car and some rope and me starting it from the ground by lifting it by hand. And I get about halfway down its length and was getting ready to start climbing up on its own from pulling it with the rope. And that's when the rope broke. That day, I felt that one. It drove me to my knees. That tower landed right on me.
Is that right? Were you okay after that when that came on top of that? When it broke like that? Or what? Did you have to go to hospital too?
Well, nothing broke, and I got very lucky in that my head went in between the steps on the side of the tower. And because I was fighting it when it let go, because I was trying to lift it, it didn't hit me as hard as it could have. It had just simply dropped. And I think the reason nothing got broken was because I was holding it, and my arms basically just came down and stopped it once, you know, they got to a certain point, and it kind of bounced off my shoulders. I was sore for weeks afterwards. But, I mean, I did go and get checked out. I got x-rayed and everything like that. Nothing was broken. But, man, I was hurting.
thank God for that there, Cliff. You were very fortunate at the bridge not to get severely hurt like that, you know, and it was a shoulder. And yeah, they were hurt for a long time. And I'm glad you feel it. I don't know, but I tell you what, my dad, I couldn't believe what he did. When I saw what I saw, my eyes were wide open. I said, man, he pulled that towel right up as if it was nothing when he pulled it up like he did. He had to put some elbow muscle in it when he did that, you know, when he lifted up like he did. But he did it, and he got it up there, and I was so happy. He screwed the screws down the on top of that, those bolts of that, and screw it down so they secure the tile right down after that when he was done. That was it. So, anyways, I have a, I had a Beringer Ranger on top of the tower. That's for the 2 meters. A 5-element Yagi for the 6 meters. And I have a wire antenna. It was called a, I can't remember, G5RV. That's what it was called, G5RV. I had that for the HF.
Yeah, I've heard of those. They're nice ones. My lady just walked in the door, and I got to go give her a hand. Give me a few minutes there, Don. I'll be right back. KFA-DBZ.
All right, Chris. Cliff, I talked to you a little bit there. KC-CPT. KCBT, who's on big C?
This is KCBT, and testing that radio.
Yeah, not full quantity. It got a little background noise on it there, my friend. The name here is Don Dalgasco, November. And then the other gentleman was named Cliff. He don't live too far from me, that's why I can hear him pretty much. But you got a little noise on you, but anyways, I do copy it, but a little noise on you. Where are you located at? QTH2, KCCPT. Name here is Doc, Del Dosker, the Webster.
QO3 at the
Hotel November, I'm in Clio, over. You in Pennsylvania? Sound like the Pennsylvania call sign with a 3 in it.
It's a vanity call sign.
Okay. What was the question again?
Kilo 3 at the Hotel November.
Okay, very good. I did hear the Kilo 3 something. I get the rest of it. Anyways, what's your QTH?
I'm in Clio. I'm on 25 watts.
How far is that from Detroit?
Clio is about 10 miles north of Flint.
Okay, very good. Well, you're coming in a little bit better at that time. What's your name there? By the way, and anyways, I was talking to Cliff and that, so he'll be back a little bit, so maybe we have a round table there going on.
Oh, my name's Ben. Sorry to interrupt. I didn't realize you were on frequency. I should have listened a little bit longer.
No. Don't say that you're sorry. I mean, hey, I want come on in, you know, head around the table and conversation with us. That'd be good. I mean, you're welcome. You know that there. I can't remember the name of it, but tell me your name there next time around there, KCACPT, okay?
KBNSW here.
That's you, Cliff? KCACPT.
No, it's Jeff. Ben, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a couple of repeaters that are close to you if you're in Clio. Not sure if you're aware, but you can go to WHCMN.net and get a list of the repeaters that are linked in here. KBSW, our name is Jeff.
Hey, very good, Jeff.
Would you like to talk to that gentleman and get the information to him about the different repeater mold sites and that? I'll just stand by KPCD.
Yeah, Ben, did you copy that, WACMN.net? W, whiskey, the number 8, Charlie, Mike, Nancy, W8CMN.net.
Roger, I copy W8CMN.net. I'll check it out.
Sounds good. Yeah, your audio is a little light, so I had to turn the volume up. But okay, carry on. I just wanted to give you that information. KBSWR.
Hey, Jeff, thank you very much. I'll just stand by for Cliff when he gets back. Cliff, back again, KJCBT, standing by.
Yes, I am, Don. I am back. I just sat back down, and I'm ready to go again. How you doing there, Jeff? Glad to hear you out here. And hello to the other guy.
I'm not sure he's coming back, Jeff, but anyway, the other guy, I can't remember his name, but he was outside Flint, the other guy, and Jeff has some information on the recite of the place of the different repeaters, or what the repeaters at. Anyways, he was giving some information to the guy, the gentleman there outside Flint. But anyways, he got the cross sign there, so he got it written down, so he got the information he wanted.
Well, that's good to hear. I hope you took note of that website as well, because you can look it up on your cell phone if you want. As long as your cell phone can get on the internet and use a browser, you can look all that information up yourself on your phone.
Yeah, news about that there. Cliff, I don't have those kind of phones, iPod phones. Me and my wife uses the consumer cellular, the flip phones, so that wouldn't do that for that kind of phone anyways.
All right, copy that. I was just saying, you know, there's, you know, multiple ways to access that information.
It's a good idea, though. I mean, if I had a phone like that, I would have done that, but... Yeah, I wish I did, but one of these days, maybe we'll get a phone like that. I mean, I talked to my wife to buy them a phone like that. Maybe we'll buy one together. Anyways, like I was saying about the repeater, we had different repeaters up north, too, where my dad and mom lived. They lived up there in Farwell, Michigan. That's where they were located at. That's where my dad had retired many years ago. And he started his home foundation up when he built it himself many years ago. And he was a tool die maker for Judd Motors in downtown Detroit. And he knew pretty much a different. He pretty much knew a lot of stuff in there. But like I always say, you're a jack of trades, right? So he had a lot of them. He had a lot of knowledge too. So. And when he built this place back in the early 70s, and he got all built and done in the 80s, I think it was, early 80s or late 80s. Anyways, my dad and my mom, they both moved back. Actually, they moved out here in Detroit. Years ago, they were here. Years ago, many years ago, they raised all four kids here in Michigan when they did. But anyway, they decided when they retired, they were going to move up north. So the house was completed and done, so... My dad did a lot of work on that home. He took a vacations all week just to get that home done and accomplished. So finally he got his retirement home. He got his dream came true, and he moved up north after that. So after he retired, that's what he did. And I years ago after that, he put a tower up for me. I've got all these antennas on the towers, and I play radio almost every day up there because the tower is about 30 feet high, like you said there, Cliff. So it was a pretty good setup.
Yeah, that place up north sounds nice. Maybe some point in a few years I can think about doing something like that. Yeah, 30 foot on a tower, that's a pretty good height. You get some decent range out of it for the local and stuff like that, and it definitely makes it easier to reach a lot of repeaters. I know taking mine from 20 to 30 feet up definitely gave me a boost in everything.
Yeah, oh yeah. What you use it right now, by the way? I use it a wire, or use a, you know, I have a tower or some kind of antenna that you use it for your radio now there, Cliff?
Currently connected to CNN.
Yeah, actually,
network.
I've got the 32-foot tall mast plate secured into the ground and fastened to the house, and on top of that is a Alpha Antenna UV6, which apparently really does do what they say it does. It works in 6-meter, 2-meter, 1.25 meter, and 70 centimeter. That's what I'm using right now. And the tip of the antenna is just about 40 feet up.
You're doing a really awesome job from where you live at, but also you don't live too far. You're like my neighbor. You happen to dip in a skip, you know, where you're at. And I think you said that you live in Clinton Township, right?
Yes, I do. Right around the neighborhood of about 16 and Gratiot. I'm only a couple of miles north of you. We could simplex real easy.
Good. And I have the, it's called a SBART. I don't know if that's a simplex or not. SBART, as they call it, SBART. I don't know, that's a SBART repeater, they call it. So I have a simplex on this, but anyway, so we can just stick on here and stay at a repeater and I have to produce all like they are down, that'd be fine. Anyone who wants to jump in, they get in there, and more welcome to. But anyways, I just did a lot of contacts on that on outside of 6 meters, the Regal Razor, Chris Cratu, that G5RV did a wonderful job for the wire that I had on that tower. I had three towers on one tower, and I was impressed how well all of it worked. It's so good. I put about, I don't know, I had a amplifier. I hooked it up to the HF. It worked very good. And I tell you, I was so impressed. Late at night, you know, the 6 meters, I had six meters on. Sometimes it came on late at night, you know, you hear people talking to them. Sometimes in the afternoon, it all depends, you know, when the bands are open. When the bands are open, when the conditions were perfect, you hear people talking on 6 meters. And you start hearing them coming in. You know, I got some contact down in Florida, places like that. But anyways, like I was telling you, when the bears are open, when it flares up with that, soil flares, started on 6 meters, but it just roars right out. I mean, it just comes right out, and you get a lot of contacts, and I hope something that happens to you, Cliff, you know what I'm saying, but you probably know what I'm saying anyways. But, you know, you have a lot of fun when you have all these contacts with different states and outer states, you know, oversight the outside of the world, too, we hear sometimes, too, you know, when a band's open on 6 meters like that.
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure of that happening to me just yet. I haven't heard anything over any great distances. But I don't have any trouble reaching three or four of the repeaters that are not too far away from us here. Like I said, there's that one that's down at Davison and the Lodge. And then there's one just across the river in Windsor that I have no trouble getting into. And then there's a couple, three, four a little further out. I'm not sure I'm getting into them or not because I never get anything back.
I keep it going, Cliff. You'll get somebody anyways. But, I've been having fun since day one or 16 years. The two-meter banner and HF, all three of them. I just had so much fun up there, up north. I should have missed it, though, Cliff, you know, because I had a nice, awesome tower. And my dad went, you know, when I had a rotor, I had to buy the rotor, I had to buy the tower. I spent a lot of money in it. I don't know how much money I spent on all that stuff, all the equipment that I invested into that. Had to buy the older so that the antenna turns for the 6 meters so I can hear them better. When the antenna turns, they can hear them a lot more clear when you have a rotor and you can turn anywhere you want, in the direction you want, southeast or west.
or north, you know. Yeah, it comes pretty good after you had that. I tell them right out of them, you can hear them so clear after that, as if they were talking the same room.
Yeah, that's a project for the future for me, for 70 centimeter and 2 meter. I've got a little Yagi sitting here that I still got to get the rest of the stuff for. I still need to get a rotor for it and all that stuff, and I got to get a mount and things like that. And then to meet building code around here, there's a few things I got to shuffle around. That hopefully I will get done sometime later this summer before, you know, the year gets out of control on me like it did last year. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that up because, you know, being able to point it, it's like you said, everything works a lot better. There was a guy that I simplexed with because he had a really, really good beam set up. And 16 miles away, he pointed it at me, and he sounded like he was sitting here right in the room with me.
What was his location? Not too far from you, or was he a little ways out?
He's about 15, 16 miles away. I remember his call sign. Let me look him up right quick.
Okay, I'll stand on in case it's between.
KFA-DBZ, yeah, I got him. He's located over west of Woodward, down between 11 and 12 Mile Road. So yeah, he's about 16 miles out from me, and yeah, we were simplexing like we were sitting in the same room.
I have to admit, that's pretty good for simplex, Cliff, simplex is good, you know, when you can hear somebody in the same room, like you said. And, boy, that's a pretty good job for simplex. That's pretty awesome. That's all right. That's great. Do you hear him now and then sometimes now? Do you talk over every now and then when you hear him? Oh, if you do hear him?
Yeah, I do. The antenna he was using when we were doing that, he's got a big old 10 or 11 element Yagi that on a rotor up on a mass Piper tower, I don't remember which. And he can swing that thing around and point it in any direction he wants. And basically, he just pointed it in my general direction, and boom, we were in the same room.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good work that he's doing, work he did that far away and on simplex. That's awesome. Anyways, I wanted my wife to get involved with ham radio, but I said to her, well, you know what? I said, her name is Beth, by the way, and I said, you know what? If you pass your test, your exam, they have multiple choice, A, B, C, D on the computer, you can't have that Yazoo. I'll give it to you for free if you pass it. I said, okay, she agreed with me on that, but she never got the time name and study the test in the book, so I don't know if she ever will, because I don't think she has any kind of a desire of, studying the book there, and me giving her that radio, that would probably going to give it to her when she takes her exam, but I don't think she's interested anyways.
And, you know, that sort of thing's entirely up to her. My lady started studying for her tech, and basically, it's just, you know, it's usual. You have to study a lot before you go and take the exam, because, you know, you want to make sure you pass it, because you got to pay to do that part. And, you know, maybe your lady will, maybe she won't. I'm hoping mine does. And then after that, you know, I'll be able to talk a little bit further apart and stuff like that, because sometimes she and I are headed in opposite directions on the road.
Yeah, maybe she will, maybe she won't, like you said, but, you know, I don't want her just thinking that, well, hey, ever since I'm a ham, she has to be a ham too, don't she? Don't have to be, nothing like that. She don't want to be a ham up here. I mean, she got her hobbies, I got mine, you know, that she has interest in, and that's okay. It's all right. I guess she can understand how she feels about that, you know. Anyways, I hear, in a past, on your secret repeater, I hear that using your keypad to call up your wife out of a keypad, you know, and you can use that phone.
you know, on your keypad when they're talking. And then he usually calls her up, if it's a husband or wife, calls her up on her on his radio, and her phone rings at their house. And then you hear Puck on the radio then, you know. That's interesting how they had that set up that way from different repeaters.
Okay, now that is a neat trick. That sounds like that ship shore telephone stuff that they have for the sailors and stuff. Talking on the telephone over the radio.
That happened many times on with the club I belong to, the Seca Club. That's happened many times. I've heard people talking on the radio, or they're making contact with their wife on the phone at home, and she's talking the phone to him on his radio while he's talking to her on the phone with the radio. So I found that very impressive. But I know I tried it, you know. I never did, never will, but I don't know if they still had that or what, but I'm sure they do.
Well, I do know they still have ship to shore for maritime stuff. I don't know about ham. They do have something else new out there that requires some specialized hardware, and it's hams over IP. And it requires some kind of Cisco phone or something like that to do it. I haven't dug into it that far yet. But, you know, the guys I'm running with, like 10 or 15 of them have already gone that route. So the sounds to me like it's another version of the telephone over the radio kind of thing.
It's pretty neat how it works. It really is, Cliff, how they set that up on the repeater. And you got to make sure you get down the right dials on the front of your keypad and to make it work. And there's a certain way of doing it to the, you know, the to that repeater, to that repeater reading and responding to what you want it to do. And then it sends a signal right to the phone who you're talking to. And one thing is impressive about how they set that up like they did. There's another repeater that years ago I talked to some guy in Australia on that Yazoo I talked to you about earlier, that all the frequencies had gone, and on that handheld. I don't know if I talked to him or someone else talked to him, but I heard some guy in Australia, and they had a link on this repeater, and the repeater is on top of the Renaissance Center. I can't remember what the name of that club is.
You know, that's a good question, because that's not coming to mind with me either. You know, there's a couple of three machines that are up on top of that building that I'm aware of, but I don't know who all owns what, you know what I mean?
I don't know either. I know one that, I can't remember the name of the club that has that repeater, that kind of repeater, but it does a job. It links to it overseas, and I couldn't believe that did run that far away to Australia. That's the other side of the world. And I was impressed with that. You know, I really was. I don't think I can talk to this guy on Australia on that radio I have. Maybe I did, man, did it, but I know someone else was talking to him. I know that, but that's a very interesting thing in the setup, how they had that set up like that. You know, it really is. Anyways, some guy I know, VA3XPN, his name is Danny. He lives in Canada. You got to go over the Blue Water Bridge to see him. And I saw, he was a good friend of mine. I met him on the radio. You know, and talked to him, and I went to his house. He was my place over here, the apartment here. This is when I was single. When I went to his place, I stayed at his house for the weekend. We played radio all the time. And I went downstairs to this basement, and we played radio there. And he had a unique, nice radio, and he linked on to different places and different states too himself. Although he didn't have HF privileges yet, but he would leak out to different states that he'd get on his 2 meter and do it. And I can't really know how he did that, you know, when he did do it. And the friend of mine is named Dan. Anyways, he had a nice radio station. Yeah, it really was.
It sure sounds like it. unfortunately, you know, for me, you know, like you, it's like I have limited space. Yes, I'm in a house, but there's still only, you know, so much shelf space in places you can tuck things like that. And I can't do the big old Radio Shack anymore. I just don't have the room for that. And code won't let me have more than the one Mast Viper a tower and one tripod on the roof. So kind of limited in my options here. But that's all right. I got more than enough to play with.
Hey, there you go, Cliff. That's all that matters. You've been a ham a long time, for years. You can look back when you first started. You did have equipment when you first started with equipment. And it starts accumulating, you know, after so many years being a ham. I've accumulated a lot of equipment myself in my lifetime, and I have to admit one thing, Cliff, it was a lot of fun. I first got my first radio was a Radio Shack handheld.
I wouldn't go knocking those Radio Shack radios. You know, I never did. When I was doing 11 meter, I got I used quite a few of their units because they were less expensive than the Cobras and things like that, and they, to me it seemed like they worked just as good. I cannot remember who used to actually make them for Radio Shack, though, because they didn't manufacture them themselves. They just put their label on them and sold them. Now, for the life of me, I cannot remember who made them. The handhelds, in a lot of cases, were coming from, like, Unitin or Midland or even Cobra. And I've got one that was actually made by Cobra right now. But as far as the mobile units, I can't remember who they had making them.
Yeah, I couldn't remember to my knowledge either there, Cliff, but I have an HTX 202 radio. I had a 144, which was a UHF. I think it was a 144 pack years ago. And when I was going to, when I was taking my class with the technician license, they told me, I want that radio. You hear it, don't buy it on the UHF anyway. So once you get the 202, you hear everybody's checking in repeaters, you hear people talking, all that. So get your radio next time when you get your license. Talk on that radio, because that's radio that you really want. And that's the only one that you will want for the Radio Shack, to buy that one. So I got that one, and I was working on it today. I plugged in the charger and charged it up, the radio. And I don't have the frequencies in there. Something happened. It was an ER. It shows a beat. Sometimes shows the ER. So the ear, it's called ear something, I think. I don't know. And it's no frequencies. It just totally just blanked out one day. And I was playing it one day. And all the frequencies are probably still in there. I'm still programming in there. But I had to get it back again. Just like a Yazoo.
Well, on that one, I do wish you the best of luck, because sometimes when a radio tells you it's got an error, it just might be done, which would be very unfortunate. KFATPZ.
A friend of mine named Jim, W1IK, talked to you, speaker. Anyways, did that one time, and I did it again a couple years ago, and I handed the radio to Jim, he worked on it. And it got working again. I was impressed. I didn't think it would have got working, but he did. He's a well good known technician, as well as a good technician he is. I tell you, he's a really good. He knows a lot about radios and being a good technician like he is, and fix radios like he does too, like he fixed mine. And he got all the frequencies back on the air, and I couldn't believe that I got all of my frequencies back restored again when he got back on in the radio. But all the frequencies were even not gone. They already restored in there. Somehow or some way, he did something. I don't know what it was to my knowledge, but he got that thing going and had no problem at all about getting on the repeaters and then talking that radio.
Well, then it sounds like it might be time for you to pay your friend a visit again and get that thing up and running again, just so we can all hear it out here.
I programmed that handheld, a HTX 202, with a frequency on that radio. Well, it was a 2-beat radio. I see why not. And put that, this frequency in there, you know. But had a lot of fun with it, you know. All the years I had, that was my first one I bought. Well, actually, it was the UHF one I bought first before I got the second one. I bought the other one back in UHF, and I traded for the HTX 202, so the Radio Shack salesman says, yeah, sure, So I gave him that, the UHF one, and then he gave me the VHF. I said, well, thank you. I don't know. I can't remember if I had to pay some money on that radio or not, but I don't think I did. But anyways, did you used to have a tower there, Cliff, a while back with those good stations like I had up north? My dad helped me out with that.
Myself? No. I mean, I did help put a few up, stuff like that, but where I used to live before I got up this way, the only thing I ever had was had a 5-foot tripod on the roof and a, what was that? Solarcon Antron 99 up there on top of about 10 feet of mass pipe, had a guy line in place so it wouldn't flex too much. That was the highest I ever went on my own or anything like that. Put a few towers up, never had one myself.
Yeah, roger that. I tell you, the towers are good, you know, and it reaches up and high in the sky, and as high as the my tower was, about 30 feet high, I made a lot of contacts. I mean, I got so much QSL towers, you can use those QSL towers as wallpaper there, Cliff.
Oh, that had to have been a sight. A wall just full of them.
Decided not to do that. I wouldn't do that. I mean, I'm sure the people had put on the walls. But I bought picture albums, the current picture albums, what I did. Do you ever have received, well, I don't know if your daddy getting you some cards from what you got, you know, and I'm contacting for that. Did you, got you some cards yourself?
I don't have any paper ones, but I do have a handful of electronic ones. Because one of the things that I do after I make a contact is QRZ, for example, I will log the contact in the logbook that they let me have there. And some of the people that I have contacted have responded.
That's good. Yeah, that's a way to do that. They respond to you and confirm the contact, so that you can start with to confirm the contact. That's what it's all about in ham radio, you know. I got a bunch of in the mail, I mean, from places that I couldn't believe I made contact to on IHF and 6 meters and all that. So it's been a lot of fun all the years I've been a ham radio operator. I'm having fun even today being on a radio. In fact, I just had to renew my license this year. And a very good friend of mine from church, he had done that for me. He had a hard time, but he got it going in that. And him and this other guy. And I'm glad he did, because I wouldn't know nothing about it to my knowledge. I mean, I would have messed up, because besides, I don't have a computer. Anyways, he got it going, and I got my license now. It'll last me for another 10 years.
Connected to CMN Network.
And there you go. You don't have to worry about it for a while. For me, I don't have to worry about it for a while either. You know, I've got just about 9 years before this one runs out.
Good for both of us anyways. But they're coming out like in certificates now. And you got a wallet size one, also one that you would have. It's a certificate. Also, you got one of, it looks like your wallet size license, but it's a big, you put it in a little frame, you know, if you want it in a frame. That's how they do them now. And the certificate looks pretty nice, you know, how they put it out and all that. Then you write your name and down the bottom of the certificate license. And when I just bought a frame, I framed it and put it on a wall by my state. It looked pretty nice.
Yeah, that's what I did with mine. I did that with both my ham ticket and my TMRS ticket. I got them both in frames hanging on the wall, you know, just in case the FCC comes knocking. Yeah, I got the little business card size one in my wallet, too, because, you know, I've got mobiles, and if they want, I got to be able to produce my license. So there you go.
Very good. I had to go to the, one of those Bitterex places that I could get them laminated. So it looked really nice, you know, in the water. I had laminated the one years ago when I first got my license, when I was a tech, and then I was a HF operator when I passed by Norris Cove back in the day, years ago when I did. That was hard to do. Boy, now you skip the code and I just go to the general, tech the general now. That's it. As far as I heard, that's what they do now. And I had to laminate it, you know, and it looked pretty nice after I did that, you know. Well, you had to go to FedEx to get that done, because I got the machine to do it with.
Yeah, did you know that you can do the lamination yourself at home these days, that they make home lamination machines and they sell packets of pouches and whatnot for different size documents, stuff like that? And that's what I ended up doing. That's how I laminated mine, is I've got my own little home gadget for that.
That probably cost a lot of money for a lamination machine, wouldn't it, Cliff?
Nah, not these little home units. They're actually not a... Remember that big old black three-hole punch we used to see and use in school? Remember that thing? They're not much bigger than one of those, actually.
I think I know what you're talking about. Although I haven't seen one yet, you know, like that, but I think I know what you're saying. Yeah, maybe one of these days I'll get one in a home here. Well, maybe my wife, me and my wife, we live in an apartment and don't have a home yet, but one of these days we will. And, yeah, that's a good idea. And if I invest into something like that, I think it'll not cost too much money. Like you said, I will buy one and laminate my license myself here then instead. But anyway, so yeah, what I use for the I use a dipole wire antenna for the HF. It's outside. But the light ladder line I have here, that's mostly the antenna for the HF. And anyways, that's what I use for the HF. And it's pretty nice when I can do it here, make contact with overseas on HF and stateside too, you know. But I think mostly the ladder line is pretty much an antenna itself, you know.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You got me curious for a minute there on something else, going back, taking a couple steps back. You can get a decent home laminating machine these days for $50, and it usually comes with a number of pouches to boot.
Yeah, I should look that up and find out where I can. Where would you usually buy something like that? You know, if you did get one laminating machine, if you wanted one.
You can go to Staples or Office Max or Office Depot. Any one of them will be carrying at least one model.
Okay. That's a good idea to go there and find out more about it and see what kind of machine it is. You know, if I like it, I might just buy it then. Although, I have to let the wife know I am. You know how that is.
Yeah, I hear you on that one, Don. KFA-DBZ.
I'll put on my call sign, KCH-CBT, for ID. Yeah, I just buy so much stuff through the years there, Cliff. I tell you, I had to vent, you know, all the radios and the handhelds that I have and that. In fact, I got so much stuff at my mother-in-law's house, it was up in the closet upstairs, and when my mom moved back down here in Michigan, my dad passed away, when she moved back down here in Detroit, and when my dad passed away, she sold the house, and the tower's still up there, it's still standing, I know that, as far as I know it is. But anyways, she moved back down here, my sister lives with my mom and that, you know, but, Anyways, if I did buy something like that, it would be nice for the apartment here, and I can laminate anything I want, any important papers, or anything that is really nice to have, like on your wall, by your station is always good. But then you get your power supplies that I bought through the years, and there's some things that add on to what you like to have for the hobby, you know. It's something that you enjoy the best of what you know how to do. And I enjoy this again on the HF. I enjoy getting on 2 meters. I just enjoy the hobby altogether about being a ham radio operator. And a ham radio operator is a very interesting hobby to have. I didn't know nothing about this years ago until I walked to that radio shack and found more about it, more information about this salesman that told me about this radio. And I was very interested about it, and I just went about to take my test and pass, not the first time, but the second time. So after that, passed my Boris Cohen, like I was saying earlier, and then I passed my general. So, the flying cutter. So I was really happy about that because, you know, you enhance something that you enjoy to do when you want to do better or what you want to have more privileges on the radio. So that's what I did. So I studied hard to get there, and you did too. You studied hard to get there. Well, you're at 2 Cliff too, you know, KCA-62.
Oh, yeah, I definitely did. I spent an entire month reading and rereading that book. And then I went on to QRZ.com because they let you take practice tests there for free, as many of them as you want. And then I literally spent like 3 or 4 months taking those practice tests like 5-6 times a night. And, yeah, it took quite a bit. But then when I went in, go for my license, boom, I got it. Passed in on the first try.
Good. That's good. That's wonderful. This good friend of mine, actually, he belongs to your secret club. He's a friend to everybody. And his name is Walt WBNA. He's a Sonic key now. I heard he passed away. He was such a nice guy. He did all the cooking and all that. He did a lot for that club. He really did. That was, compliment him how well a job he's done, what he did for that club of cooking, and did what he did to be committed to with that club and dedicated to how worker that he was, you know. Anyways, he highlighted everything in that book for me to read, and then I test myself by reading over again, and what he did is he highlighted all the ones I need to be memorized before I took my test is what he did for me.
Yeah, I copy that. That's unfortunate. It's always sad when we lose one of those. KFA TTC.
Yeah, and, have you ever joined a club there, Cliff? I was just wondering if you ever joined a club. If you ever. Oh, you're in a club. That's right. I think you said mention that you were.
Yeah, I applied for and joined the Macomb County Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. And so far, that's the only group of ham operators that I'm with.
Years ago, I was a coffee guy at the Yosika Club. I made coffee for everybody. And they gave me all the stuff, equipment, and they ordered stuff for me, to, like the creamers and the sugars and the filters and the coffee. And I, every month, I go there and drag the stuff out of the closet. This is back when I was single, years ago there, Cliff. And I go to the club there and make coffee for everybody. They gave me a big pot to make the coffee with. One day, years ago, I don't know how many years, I think it was 2000, I think, year 2000, I think it was, of November. And they surprised me. They were going to the school. The Yosemite Club was going to the school at the school to use their auditorium or also gym that we went and had our meetings and all that when we did. Anyways, I always made coffee, started day one when we went to the Elk Club. I started making coffee there, and then they moved to the places at the school, and then they went to the Elk Club. So they written this they were in a room for the Elf Club for have our meetings every month when we did it. So I used to make coffee every month, you know. And it was really good because I really did something for the club, and I wanted to, and then I was committed to do it, and I felt pretty responsible, and to make sure the coffee was good. I was hoping everybody liked the coffee I made for them. Anyways, at the school, they gave me this plaque. They said, they said my name, Don, KCHCPT, the coffee guy, they called it, on this plaque they gave me.
That's pretty awesome. Do you still have it? Do you still have the plaque?
Yeah, I should have it, Cliff. It's hanging on the wall right now, in fact. I look at it every now and then.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that. Anyways, Don, I gotta get ringing off. It's 12:45, and I gotta get up a little early tomorrow. And so does my lady, so, you know, it's getting time for me to go rack out and get some Z's. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, as always. And I'll say 73s and all the other good numbers to you, and I will be clear after your final.
I think it was nice talking to you too there, Cliff, and I hope to hear you on the Mecca repeater again. On one other day or any time this week, if I hear you out there, it'd be great to talk, have a conversation again, Cliff. So God bless you, my friend, and good to hear you out there. And you take care. KCCPD, I'll be Cliff.